The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now today, the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Pascal Donoghue, published the Mid-Year Expenditure Report. Another element that's going to inform decisions when it comes to the budget in a few weeks' time. Decisions which affect every single person listening to this show in the pocket. Delighted to say the Minister is with me now. Minister, as always, you're welcome to the show. Before we get to that report, given that one of your constituents has claimed a gold medal, a second Olympic gold medal, I must ask, have you been enjoying these games in Paris?
I think they are just fantastic games. I'm just so, like everybody else, proud and impressed by the amazing performance of our athletes, including, of course, Kelly Harrington. They are just doing us such proud, and it's a reminder to me, however, of the incredible hard work and sacrifice that all of them have to make in order to get to the point where they can compete in the Olympics and represent their country. And we should be very grateful to them for all they've done for us.
Isn't it great to be watching a big sporting event like this, an extravaganza, and for Ireland to be doing so well, to be outperforming itself in terms of population, and to be talking about all of these athletes in such a positive light?
Absolutely. And at a time, Ciarán, in which we're all aware of the fractures and divisions that exist within countries and between countries, I think we all have to cherish those things that can also bring people together. And there's not many of them at the moment, but one of them is sport. And I think we are in a golden period of sport at the moment, whether it's our Olympian athletes that we're all so proud of at the moment, whether it's our rugby team, other national teams. And it provides for great communal moments of recognition when we're all proud of the same things and wish these outstanding women and men every luck and every success in their future. It brings people together at a time in which we're reminded of the value of that.
Yeah, and listen, she has enough weight on her shoulders without adding to it. But given she's an Olympic final tomorrow, I doubt she's listening to us. So I'll take the risk of mentioning it. Rashida Adeleke as well. When you have had such issues around what would we call them, the new Irish community in this country over the last 12 to 18 months. It's just such a I find it such a tonic to see her out there representing us and representing us so well.
Well, I always find sport uplifting, and on a personal level, I find it particularly uplifting because I was so chronic at any sporting endeavours myself, but it's never stopped me really being able to appreciate them. And I think there is a particular element in her performance and the way she's represented our country that should be a cause of reflection, though it's not a responsibility that she has. She is a reminder to us of what it is to be Irish. She's a reminder to us that to be Ireland in 2024 means lots of different things to different people. And she, as so many others who are in our country, is as Irish as anyone else and a reminder of what it means to be Irish. And we should be grateful that we have somebody like her wearing green and representing us all now in the coming days. And very best of luck to her.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will... We won't project too much our hopes or ambitions in that regard. She has enough pressure.
She has enough on her shoulders.
She does.
She's an athlete. She's there to excel, to ensure all that our hard work pays off. And if I could just quickly acknowledge just the Olympic movement in Ireland and Sarah Keane and all the people who provide the infrastructure to all the athletes who excel and maybe don't excel. They're in the background and they're heroes too. And we owe them a thought. As we are so proud of what's happening in so many sporting endeavours at the moment in Paris. And then our Paralympians are going to do it all over again.
Yeah, be great fun. Listen, in your own bailiwick, this mid-year expenditure report has been published today. So it follows on from the summer economic statement last month. In what way does the content of this and what's contained therein inform kind of budgetary decisions that are going to be made over the next 6 to 8 weeks?
It's an important part of the Ciarán. It does two things. Firstly, it lays out how much money we are spending at the moment and reaffirms how much money we aim to spend in 2025. And secondly, I'm always really conscious that in talking about millions, hundreds of millions or even billions, there's such a need to relate it back to all of our daily lives and what this gets. And the report links the spending of money to the building of homes, to the number of children in the National Childcare Scheme, to improved health outcomes, but it also lays out some of the difficulties and issues that we have to do better on as we prepare Budget 2025. So that's the two purposes of this document that we publish in the middle of the year.
And then combined with that, you know, we had Exchequer returns yesterday that were, you know, slightly healthier in some regards than maybe some expected. But you kind of, is it the fourth or the fifth month in a row that unemployment has been on the rise, and the turmoil in the tech industry continues, and not great news around Intel, for example, which is a huge employer in Kildare. I mean, how do you read all of those tea leaves together?
So it reaffirms to me that our country is overall, from an economic point of view, continues to be very stable and continues to be performing very well. While you are correct that unemployment has gone up, we have never had more people at work in Ireland, and we have public finances that have a surplus and a level of a surplus that few of the European countries have. All that being said, the indicators that you have pointed to and others that I fear could build in the time ahead remind us that the moment you take an economy or a job for granted, you're on your way towards losing it. And there's lots of things happening across the world that continue to remind us that we've work to do here at home to look after our own country and our own economy. And while we have reasons to be confident, we shouldn't be complacent. And those issues that you've raised and a few others are a reminder of the need for that.
The other report that we've had out today that a lot of people are talking about is the Residential Tenancies Board, the PRTB there, annual report that it gives us kind of a snapshot in time of what the market looks like and the breakdown of the different tenancies and the different types of landlords we have in this country. And a couple of things of interest kind of stand out, one of which is there doesn't seem to have been this exodus from the market of the mom and pop landlord, if we'll call them that, that some had speculated, and actually that some had pointed to in order to argue for tax breaks for those landlords. What's your own sense of that?
Well, some of the arguments that were made for very big tax breaks for landlords, I considered, and Minister Michael McGrath considered, but we ultimately did not bring in because we believed it would not have been the right response back. And we believe there are other things that could be done that could make a difference. What I am encouraged by is a growth in the number of residential tenancies that are registered for rental purposes. And I'm encouraged by the stability that is there in smaller landlords within our country. And I hope encouraged that some of the things that we did had an effect. But the truth of it is that report also underlines how much more we need to do. It underlines how many more rental homes we need to create in the time ahead and enable the creation of. It also reminds me that those who can provide that rental accommodation comes in all different shapes and sizes. They can be the smaller landlords that you've just raised with me, and also larger landlords and larger sources of capital and funding who can build apartment blocks that are capable of providing rental accommodation at scale. So I think there's some very valuable learnings in the report today that we're going to have to consider.
And are you content then, and it sounds like you are given what you've just said, with the size and scale of that big kind of corporate landlord investment in the Irish market? Because there are some who are opposed to it. We're going to be speaking to Rory Hearn a little bit later from Maynooth University, who ran for the Social Democrats in the recent European elections. I understand he's running in the general election as well for the same party, whenever that might be. He less enamoured by the corporate landlords and the build-to-rent system.
He may well be, but the question then is that if we want to build more rental accommodation in the future, who can do it? Who can provide that rental accommodation? Historically, in Ireland, it's been smaller landlord, the owner of one, three, four, five properties maybe, that has now been accompanied by the state that is aiming to build more cost rental accommodation, and that takes time to do. But those two forces together cannot meet the rental accommodation needs that we know we are going to have in the years ahead. And that which is capable of filling the gap are the pension funds, the larger builders that are capable of building these apartments that are built in many other parts of Europe that play a role in meeting a certain rental need. And if Rory or others don't want that kind of accommodation in Ireland, then the question is, how else can we fill that gap and how that accommodation can be provided? The government, smaller landlords have a critical role to play, but we do need to add to that, which is why these larger builders play an important role.
We'll put some of those issues to Rory Hearn when he's with me at 5:15. Given the news that started this week, the political news that started this week, Minister, the death threats to Simon Harris and his family, it should be said, are you worried about the direction of travel we're on?
I'm disgusted by the reports regarding what the Taoiseach has had to deal with and what that means for him publicly and privately. But as the Taoiseach has himself said, and I believe this really strongly, it can't deter us from just trying to do your best in public life, which is what the vast majority of those of us who are in public life try to do. You know, every time you walk into your studio, Ciarán, and every time you put on your headphones, and every time you talk to people like me, you try to do your best and do a good show. Those of us in public life, the vast majority of us, try to do the very best we have with the jobs that we're lucky enough to have for a few years. And if the dark and sinister voices that are out there, and there's only a small number of them, but they are growing, if they deter people from either trying to become politicians, or those of us who are politicians from trying to do our best, they can win. And we can't let that happen. The overwhelming majority of people in this country and elsewhere mightn't agree with anything or much that I or others do, but they're civil, they're respectful, they know we need elected politics. Mm. That's the tone of the majority. We can't let a small minority win and influence in how we conduct politics in Ireland.
How do you maintain that balance, though? One of the great things I think most people would acknowledge about the Irish system is how accessible our politicians are. And listen, I know it's kind of a stick that you and others would get beaten with about, you know, you don't understand the people and you're kind of living in ivory towers. But I think the majority would accept the kind of the accessibility point. And at the same time, remember when we hear stories about Simon Harris, about Joe Cox and David Amos in the UK in the last few years, that, I mean, these threats can result in the most tragic of consequences. You know, and there might be kind of a knee-jerk reaction to withdraw from the public.
We can't let that happen, and it's not going to happen in Ireland. That accessibility that is there, the relationship that is created by our political culture and also by our voting system between the TDs and their constituencies, I believe is a source of great strength for our country, because it's a great bulwark and defence against extremism and against small views having too much power. And we have to maintain that accessibility. And the reason why we can and we will is because, just to go back to a point I made to you a moment ago, the overwhelming majority of people in our country engage with politics and directly with their politicians in such a civil and respectful way. And every time the point is made to me about abuse, and I've had to deal with it myself, and, you know, we're all aware of the rising levels of abuse that can be there towards politicians, I have to accompany that by making the point that it's still only a minority. We can't let our colouring and our perception of politics be influenced by the tone that a small number of people use about public life in our country. Because I want great people to come into politics in the future. I, in particular, want more young women to come into politics. And as somebody who's been in politics now for a while, I want to tell all of them that the vast majority of the engagement that we have with the people we're lucky enough to serve really is the way it should be and reflects well, I think, in our country.
Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform. Minister, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ciarán.
The Hard Shoulder with